This is Military Mondays with Major David Katz.
A very good morning, Major David Katz. How are you? How was your weekend?
Morning, Howard. Weekend was splendid. Do you want to hear about my walk to the wilds?
Of course I do. I happen to love the wilds. I haven't been there for, I can't tell you how long, but as a kid we used to go to the wilds very, very often, and it was always such an exciting place to be.
Absolutely. And you know, it became absolutely decrepit. It was impossible to go there. There were security problems. The surrounding flats were having problems with it. So it was not a place that you visited up till a couple of months ago.
And then?
And some concerned citizens have taken charge there. Repainted all the chairs and the decks, got to labeling the trees, cutting the lawns, getting the fountains going again. It is absolutely fantastic.
And it's an eye opener.
There were so many people there over the weekend when we walked in.
Really?
Having a great time, drinking wine.
So
on the lawns.
Where do you park? Where do you, because there's two sides to the wilds, isn't there?
There's an old section, the one that you remember when we were kids.
No, excuse me, I remember both, and I'm not old. Gosh. Jeez. I have to be on my toes here.
I can go back to the time where I only remember the one section, which was the
right
section.
But that was just before the Boer War.
just after.
Just after, I apologize. No, seriously, because as you drive, you know, it's dissected by Houghton Drive, isn't it?
There's a bridge going across,
yes.
100%.
So, okay, so which section has been redone? The one?
No, both sides.
Oh, both sides. Okay, so where do you park?
You park on the, in the old section, if I can call it that.
Yes.
Which is on the, is that the west?
Near St. John's School.
That's the west side.
Right.
No, St. John's is the east side.
Okay, yes.
And you park on the west side.
Right.
And then there's a bridge going over to the other side, which is a little bit more wild. It's fantastic. It's got indigenous. Both sides have been totally refurbished.
That is really
It's brilliant.
Awesome.
You've got to go. There's two things you've got to try.
Uh-huh.
One's the Gau train. You have to go on that.
Oh, no.
And the other one is the wilds.
Went to many, many years ago, but I think it's time to go back.
Yep,
and you're allowed to picnic there. You're allowed to take you can take a picnic and go to the lawns there.
Lots of security. We walked it flat. We walked up and down, went to the sundial right at the top, which everything's been refurbished.
Yes.
It's
funny that you say that and you bring it up today because today is Tu Bishvat, which is the Jewish New Year of the trees, and it's about nature. And probably the last time I went to the wilds was in primary school on Tu Bishvat, because we used to go there and we would do this little walk around the wilds.
Yep.
And in fact, when you say the sundial, I now remember it right at the top.
Right at the top.
That was part of the whole walk that we used
and
to
the
do.
And the views of Johannesburg are magnificent. It's not views that I even remember seeing as a kid.
Right.
So fantastic experience. These guys should be, the initiative to get it back to the state should
wonderful.
Be supported. So
absolutely wonderful.
Let's get out there and go and help these
absolutely.
Guys.
And you know what? We always complain that there's not much to do in Johannesburg, but the wilds is really, really just a magnificent.
We've reclaimed it. I think that's great news. Eh?
That really is. All right. On less positive news, we do need to talk about Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
It is very, very confusing. It's quite strange that last week you and I chose to speak about Russia's involvement with
proposed military base
in Zimbabwe, and that was before we even realized the news was out about the fuel increase.
Yes.
But the country hadn't come to a complete shutdown. Internet hadn't been switched off. So in fact, we almost anticipated something going on there.
Mm.
Now let's talk about what has happened in the last week. Where's the military? What is the story?
Look, there's very little news coming out of Zimbabwe, and that's not by mistake. It's on purpose. The government has shut down for various lengths of time the internet and social media. There's no WhatsApp there. There's no Facebook there. So the news coming out is scant and most probably inaccurate. But there are concerned people living there that when the internet goes up for a short amount of time, are actually sending some reports of what's going on there, and the story is not good,
not pretty
at all. Certainly, it's the worst situation since in recent memory. We haven't seen this type of mayhem in the streets of Harare and Bulawayo and all the cities for years now. After so much hope, when Mnangagwa came in.
Yeah.
There was such hope. There was that ray of hope now that,
really
that, that things were going to be put and, back and onto a footing.
We did know about his past, and it was spoken about that that he was purportedly involved in some heavy-handed stuff earlier on in his life. But there seemed to be still hope and optimism that he was going to change and that he was going to do things a little bit differently.
Yeah, we didn't realize
that. Our hopes dashed.
Our hopes were dashed. I think we were clutching at straws. We didn't realize that the situation could get worse. So supposedly after this 45 rand increase in petrol up to 45 rand, which is not the real problem. That's just the result of what the problem is. It's the failure of him to get investment from the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
Shortage of currency everywhere. A lack of their own currency, which doesn't help things. And then this indigenization of the economy, whereby it has to, companies have to be 51% owned by black locals. Zimbabweans. I mean, this is just ruining the economy. There is no outside investment, and this has led to unrest. And what happened on, I think it was Monday last week, they called a 3-day stay away, and this turned violent with lots of looting and burning and just mayhem in the streets. And the army and the police were called out to try and quell the riots, and this has just got out of hand. And now you've got the army together with the police roaming into the townships, pulling people out of their homes, trying to see if they were part of the looting. And these are all report backs coming on social media from people on the ground there that are witnessing this terror. It's absolute terror. Young school kids being pulled out of their houses, beaten up, that type of thing that's going on. So people are scared. They're staying indoors. The economy is just not turning. Nothing's happening. Shops are shut, and people are just struggling.
Where's Mnangagwa through all of this? I know he's in Russia.
He was in Russia, and I saw his latest tweet. If it's true, if that's a tweet from him, is that he's on his way back. He's
he's not going by boat. He should be there already.
He should.
You know, this has gone on for a week.
As somebody described it, he threw the hand grenade and ran away. He announced this huge increase. And,
well, that's quite Zuma-esque. We saw Zuma doing that over the last couple of years as well.
I would have thought that he would have. Obviously, he's very astute politically, and I mean, he would have known that this would have caused mayhem. But he made damn sure that he wasn't around to face the music. Obviously, very secure that he had the backing of the military. Otherwise, he wouldn't have vacated the country to go overseas. So he's got the full backing of the military.
In terms of the military and in terms of military powers, what power does obviously each country differs in terms of their own internal structuring and laws. But in terms of international law, you know, how much power does the president have? I mean, for example, should the UN, should the United Nations, should the African Union be getting involved here and saying, this is a crisis, call an emergency meeting? Because we haven't seen anything. We haven't seen South Africa doing pretty much anything. What I find so astounding is almost lack of interest in the plight of people in Zimbabwe.
There's a total blackout. There's a silence. People are not getting involved. You don't want to turn the military against your own people. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the military coming in to support the police.
Of course.
In times should of trouble, we saw it in Kenya. Required. Kenya was a great example where the military came in their latest attack on a shopping center and supported the police. That's fine. But to call in the military to attack your own people is a problem, and that should have been an indicator for outside entities to come in and say something and do something about it. But there is just silence from every side, and
should we expect international peacekeeping forces or AU peacekeeping forces? We've seen it. We've seen them deployed all over Africa, in the Central African Republic. We've seen this, you know, do the wheels there turn so slowly that we won't see anything active for a while?
You see, these deployments, of AU forces and United Nations forces are at the behest of the government of the day in that country. They actually request these people to come in.
Which they're not going to do because they've taken control of the country.
SADC. With Lesotho Operation Boleus, we saw what happened back there in the mid 90s when we went in and tried to restore the situation in Lesotho, not at the invitation of the government, and that led to problems. So people are very hesitant to go in where they're not wanted.
So what can we expect from the South African government?
Very little, I suppose, at this stage of the game. They haven't, I mean, when these things happened in the past, there wasn't much, I don't think.
No, they've always called it, what do they call it, quiet diplomacy. That was an Mbeki word, way back when. That was still different. It still wasn't nearly as bad as it is today.
You know, funnily enough, I don't believe South Africa has a big influence on Zimbabwe. The relations between South Africa and Zimbabwe have never been that strong. And the, and between the ANC and Zimbabwe,
even
from a political party point of
really?
View, is that the ANC has never really had close links with Robert Mugabe and his political movements. So I don't know the influence that South Africa really has, although it's one of our biggest trading partners.
I was going to say,
lots of Zimbabwean citizens live here.
Economically, it's got to be a very, very strong partner.
We don't have a lot of political clout there. We just don't have that political clout there, which is amazing. We haven't made those inroads there. Despite the fact that Zimbabwe is an integral part of our economy and part of our region. So what can the South African government do to influence the situation short of getting involved there, which I'm sure they're not going to. So I don't expect very much.
What do you expect? 34519 or 061-895-1019. Do you have an expectation that the South African government should get involved, place pressure on Mnangagwa to ease up some of the tensions? What do you think we should be doing, if anything at all? It is 8:41. I'm chatting to Major David Katz. We are talking about the horrific situation in Zimbabwe. Time is 8:46. A very good morning to you if you have joined us. We are chatting in the studio to Major David Katz. We've been speaking about the situation in Zimbabwe. Very, very clearly, Mnangagwa does have the military behind him. Was that ever in question?
No, listen, he came in on a soft coup. I think one of the softest coups that I've ever seen. They were certainly behind the whole movement to get him in.
Right.
So, the two of them obviously have a very, very strong relationship. So there seems very little doubt. And also the fact that he vacated, the country to go and visit Russia, at the heart of this problem, where I think anybody would have known that there would have been problems doubling or tripling the petrol price. Shows that he relied on the military to look after his position while he was gone. So there's a very strong.
So he was that secure. He didn't think that he was in danger. His position's in danger at all. If he's leaving the country,
not at all. I don't think so. I think he's pretty well entrenched with the military, and they are pretty well entrenched in the country. And I don't think there's going to be any change of leadership there too soon. As long as he maintains that backing.
All right. So David, you've you're a historian. You're involved in military strategy. You've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
How does it end?
How does it end? Let's have a look at Rwanda.
Okay.
That was a good news story.
Well, not for a period.
Not for a period. I mean, that was one of the largest genocides to happen since the Second World War. Right. Half a million people dead. Country rent, torn between two different battling tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And, a strong man came in and...
And today
didn't exercise democracy, really.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to end that well, but I mean, surely the middle game has been very, very good. Managed to turn the country around. Mm-hmm. Got one of the highest growth rates in Africa. One of the lowest crime rates, lots of investment coming in.
Does it mean it's got to go get that bad? I mean, God forbid.
Can it get worse, Howard? That's what I'm saying to you.
It can get worse. Of course it can get, in Zimbabwe, of course it can get worse.
How much worse can it get? How much worse can it get? I mean, people are starving. There's mayhem on the streets. Shops are being looted. There's absolutely no investment coming in. I don't even think you can attract Chinese investment under these circumstances.
Which is why it's in Russia.
It's pretty bad. Half the population lives somewhere else.
Well, there's a 90% unemployment rate.
90% unemployment rate. I think we've reached rock bottom at this stage of the game.
I'm always scared to say that because, sometimes we, the human race can astound, ourselves. To the depth that we are able to dip to.
Well, but history's taught us that also. So,
in your view, we're at rock bottom in Zimbabwe.
Well, I think the short term game is what's going to happen. Is that the military and the police are unfortunately left to them are going to stabilize the situation through absolute terror. And
so we are going to see more human rights abuses. We are going to see more people hurt. And
well, we've seen some of the opposition leadership being arrested already. So those the voices of the opposition are going to be silenced in the short term.
Right.
And this after so much promise that these people would be brought on board, in a broad type of a government, people being brought back on board, so much hope. I traveled there in April last year. All the police roadblocks were removed. It was looking very good. He was going out there trying to get investment, trying to carry the people within. Hasn't worked out. So I don't know whether he's going to reboot and try and get it going again. He seems determined to try and turn around and get investment back in there. There's talk of them putting their own currency back on board. I don't know how you do it in these circumstances. They've got to try and stabilize the situation.
But it seems to me that they've actually got no clue. There's actually no real experienced leadership there.
Well, there's a certainly experienced leadership. I think it's a leadership that doesn't want to share in any type of power. And I think if he reboots, I'm hoping to see a stabilization of the situation somehow. And that he's brought to the negotiating table where he can bring on and answer some of the opposition concerns and start bringing on the best people to do the job. I mean, is that possible? We've seen that in Rwanda. Get the best people, whether they're from the opposition party or not. And I just don't know. He's stuck in between a hard rock and a difficult place, because I don't know how much control he's got outside of the military. Will the military allow now other people to come in and take over sensitive positions that don't belong to the governing party? So hopefully, what will happen is that they can stabilize the situation and there's some type of internal settlement between the parties, and they all get together to get this thing going and reboot the situation. Hopefully. Don't hold it too much hope at this stage of the game. I can't really see where it's going to go.
Herlene's saying, yes, South Africa has closed the borders, therefore no food able to get to the families there. Is that appropriate? Has South Africa closed its borders?
I'm not sure about that.
I'm also not convinced, Herlene. We will try and look into that, but I'm not 100% certain.
I'm sure of one thing, is that not a lot of people are going from this side of the border up into Zimbabwe.
Well, they could be to take food.
Not the normal to the food chains and that type
no,
of thing.
No. I don't mean it from that.
It's
got
to be emergency aid. That's
and,
going to
and families, the families who, you know, so many Zimbabweans are working in South Africa whilst their families live and are educated in Zimbabwe. They sent home money. They sent home food. You know, can you imagine the anxiety of a Zimbabwean in South Africa knowing that your children, your family, your parents, whomever it is, anyone you care about is in Zimbabwe. You have very little way of getting news to them and from them.
Yeah.
You know that the shops are closed. It is so overwhelmingly
alarming.
Frightening.
It's
just to think about it in those terms on a personal human level is devastating.
We've got a chap across the road that goes to Zimbabwe. Obviously, he's got his truck and he's got his trailer, and I see he loads it every single day during the week. So from Monday to Friday, he loads his little truck and his trailer with all the goods that he's going to take up to Zimbabwe, and off he goes to the Zimbabwe. I see that every week. And this is one of the first weeks I've seen in many, many years where his little truck and his trailer didn't go up to Zimbabwe. So obviously they know. I mean, these
people
on the ground.
Well, Herlene says from Zim people, I have been told from someone in Zim that the border is closed. It is a fact. Wow.
Yeah,
very frightening.
No, it is a frightening situation.
Very, very scary indeed. Time is 8:52, about to go 8:53. I'm Howard Philbin. This is Your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. I've been chatting to Major David Katz. We are talking about the situation. We have been talking about the situation in Zimbabwe. Peter says apparently with the internet shut down, the computers at the border post were also complete chaos. Sad situation indeed. Would love to hear from you. 34519 or 0618951011. Or unsigned says, I collect money at Western Union, and Friday I was in a queue for 2.5 hours to be served, as most Zimbabweans were sending money to loved ones in Zimbabwe. Very sad. And it is, you know, the human side of it is, the human suffering side of it. David, before I let you go and before we have to go, unfortunately, just a quick question. Do you think that this could have been orchestrated specifically, you know, to put up your fuel price by 200% in a country where people are already suffering 90% unemployment. You know what's going to happen. That's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. There's no question about it. You can't think anything otherwise. And yet it was done. The guy leaves the country. The military steps in. Is it choreographed?
It could be. It smacks a bit of that. And I agree with you 100%. I mean, he left the country after making this announcement. He's an astute politician. He's been around for a hell of a long time. I think, I mean, the writing was on the wall with us. I mean, there was a lot of unrest before he left. And he felt secure enough to leave, and he might have done that as a purpose so that it looked like he didn't have a hand in the crackdown. And it may have suited their purposes, the government's purposes, to have this crackdown and clean out some of the opposition members under the auspices of these riots and mayhem. So there's a little bit of both in there. I tend to agree with you. Yeah, this could have been a whole choreographed situation.
Which bodes very, very poorly for the future of Zimbabwe, because what this shows is that they have indeed exchanged one dictator for another.
For another, yeah.
And
more of the same, and, unfortunately.
Well, maybe
perhaps.
Even worse. Well, I don't know if it's worse or if it's just time that's made it worse, because there's so little left there in terms of investment.
And the tragedy is that the economically viable people, the people that could have made a difference, the people the cream of Zimbabwean society resides in countries, some of them reside in South Africa, or outside of the country. Those very people who could have made a difference in that country right now, who maybe could have changed the voting pattern, are no longer there.
Well, that's interesting, because Zimbabwe as well is one of the countries that doesn't allow expats to vote.
And that's not by mistake, obviously.
Of course, because they know exactly where they and who they will be voting for. This is, unfortunately, where we love and leave it. Not too happy a conversation. I generally like to end on a more upbeat note, and I do apologize that we didn't, but I do think it was important to focus on Zimbabwe, to focus on our neighbors, and to try and understand exactly what it is that is going on there. It's a horrific situation, and I just hope that and pray that this turns around. So this is, you know, on Friday was A.A. Milne's birthday, and we got a whole collection of most beautiful Winnie the Pooh quotes from you, from our listeners, and I just want to include this one in our daily goodbye. I think it's a great idea. Many people came and told me over the weekend that they really enjoyed this quote particularly, maybe because I sold it that hard. But either way, as I say goodbye to you, I say how lucky I am to have something that makes saying goodbye so hard. See you tomorrow. Don't be late.